Today on Real Radio.
We need to keep praying. We need to stay at it. We are not powerless. The evils that are coming upon the world, the evils that are supposedly coming upon America, California, the threat of terror and attack. Listen, the greatest thing you can do to be at ease and calm and have the wisdom of God at times like this is to pray, because God will tell you exactly what to do. Stay at it, church. I tell you what, we're going to stay at it. If there's only three or two or one of us left, we're going to stay at it. God says, I'm only looking for one person to pray. And there's more than one person here. We need to pray. We need to wake up and be alert.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I? And we begin a new series called Why Should I Pray? Among the attributes of our Almighty Maker, one is that He is knowable. Not that we can know everything about Him, of course not, but there are some things that we can know and understand about God Almighty. As well, we can make known our thoughts and desires through this practice we call prayer. That's quite a privilege. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles to the chapter you already know, Acts chapter 2. Verses 41 to 47, and our title this morning in our series of the Why Should I series. This morning, why should I pray? We're going to be spending the next 3 weeks looking at why should you and I be praying. And you might be thinking, Jack, I thought you said this is going to be a 12-week series. I did at the start, you're right. But seeing how the rain has delayed the project and we're not going to be moving in as soon as we had thought, maybe, just maybe, God wants us to spend 3 weeks or more on prayer. He certainly wanted us to spend more time on the topic of worship, didn't He? And thank God, by the grace of God, I was able to get through and out of the topic on tithe last week. Did anybody miss last week? Anybody raise your hand? Don't worry, you won't lose any frequent flyer points if you... Hey, last week the topic was tithing, and I spent half the service apologizing to people visiting that we've never talked about that topic before, and we're going through this series, and thank God, I figure that we won't have to bring it up again. I figure the Lord will be back before it ever comes back in any kind of a series or any kind of a book, or I'll be dead of old age. Either way, I'm glad that topic's gone. Even though it fit perfectly in the very act of worship that we were studying previous to. And so if you were not here, get the tape, because, by the way, I thank God that I had a young lady come up to me after service last week, and she was just crying. And I thought somebody had offended her. She looked very serious, and she was crying. And you could tell, you know, a very attractive young girl, and she had all of her makeup on just right, and it was all just coming, flowing down her face. And I thought, a hot moment here in between services. What's going to go on? So I'm kind of looking for backup. I don't know. And she came up and her lips started quivering, and she said, you know what? I've been set free today. I've been coming here for a couple of months. She says, I grew up in a church where it was all this about tithing and giving and mandatory, and you better, and if you want to go to heaven, you better cough this up. And one, you know, situation after another, and the hammering of it. And she said, today I was completely set free. And she was crying for joy. And that was great. And then the second service, someone came out of the service and said, you know what? The church I just came from, they demanded of us not only the percentages, they took it out of our check, our checking account automatically, and they required of us that we sign 1% of the value of our homes over to the ownership of the church. I couldn't believe what I was hearing in light of last week's teaching. I couldn't believe it. And it was horrific. And in the lives of these two people, when we mentioned the scripture that God loves a joyful giver, that you're to give out of according to your heart with the Lord, it's between you and God. Oh man, the weight was coming off. And you know what? It was a neat comment. One person said, hey, this is pretty cool. Because in light of today's service teaching, which was last week, and the previous weeks on worship, now I can do both with absolute energy and excitement because I've been liberated. That's a great thing. By God's grace, we'll be liberated again by the topic that we're in, this topic of prayer. Why should I pray? Now, class, listen up. This message, again, will go over the course of 3 weeks. You're going to think we're not making any headway this morning whatsoever. We will, I promise. The introduction's about 48 minutes long. We'll get to the first point, and then it'll be time for you to go home. I kind of feel like a college professor letting you know what's coming in advance. Why are we not going to rush this? Why should I pray? Because, church, let's be honest. There's two areas that you and I struggle under, often either a self-imposed pressure called guilt or due to the manipulation of others upon our lives in two key areas, and that is prayer and Bible reading. Every year, Christians around the world buy devotional books and certain, through the Bible in a year commitments, which are great, by the way. They're wonderful. And I encourage them. However, I refuse, it only took me 25 years as a Christian to figure it out, I refuse to become enslaved or in bondage to the calendar, though, regarding that. What do I mean? Well, you know when you're reading your Bible and you miss, you're sick, or you got too busy too quick, you miss your daily allocated Bible reading for that day, right? So, I gotta double up tomorrow. You know what happens? You never catch up. And then guilt comes in. Oh, I'm a loser. And your friend will show up and say, oh, wasn't that a great chapter today? No, you have no idea what the chapter was because you didn't make it there. You're a week behind. And then the guilt builds and builds. I won't do that. I'll read through the Bible. But I tell you, if I skip a day, I believe that God is involved in me skipping that day. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I just know that God is not into guilt in this area of Bible reading. I'm committed to Bible reading. But if I'm sick or if I can't make it that day, I refuse to let the enemy take what God has intended for good and bring it about for bad in my life. Second thing is prayer. Which one of you, and if you raise your hand, I'll have you. No, I'm kidding. Which one of you thinks for a moment that you pray enough? You pray too much. Gosh, Pastor, I'm so up on all my prayers, I'm going to take next week off. None of us, and you know this, none of us pray enough. We can't pray enough. That's why the Bible encourages us, and we'll hear it over and over again in this series, that we are to have an attitude. We are to pray without ceasing. That is having a mind of constant communion with God. It doesn't mean that you take the moment to go into that prayer closet or attend a prayer meeting, though that's good. It is having an attitude of prayer. And we see a church in its inception that's a praying church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word, Peter's teaching, his preaching, on the southern steps there of the temple, they were baptized. And about that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then awe, reverence, fear, worship came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and in the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And I might add, he did that because it was a church that was alert and worthy of him to add people to. Did you hear that? It was a church that God wanted people to be added to. Christian, listen up. The church that you attend, if it's this church, I assume that most of you, it is this church. Is it a church that God wants to send people to, or he has believers, or new believers, I should say, coming to birth in Christ in such a church? The church that you and I are involved in, is it a work of God that he wants to add to the church daily such as should be saved? And maybe you're visiting, and maybe you're traveling from out of state or wherever you're from. You need to ask yourself that question. The New Testament church that I should be involved in my community, is it a church that is growing? Is it a church that's preaching and teaching the Word of God? Is it a church that does things to encourage fellowship and the breaking of bread and the conversing one with another? Is that church trying to go even beyond itself to get you together? Now, you may take that lightly. I know this church doesn't, but you may take it lightly that, oh, you know, my church is always trying to get people together. You should thank God for that intent of that church to get you together. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that as the days continue to get evil, we better be careful that we do not forsake the gathering together as a church, as some are doing. They forget. They give up. They stop attending a church. Oh, my church has got a picnic this week. Oh, my church has got a baptism this week. Oh, my church has got a concert this week. You know why churches go through that effort to put that together? You think they do that to abuse themselves? They don't do that to abuse themselves. They do that to get God's people together. And one of those things is in the area of prayer. Charles Spurgeon said that the lungs of the church is its prayer meeting. Now listen, for those of you who attend this church, I'm going to challenge you in the next several weeks. You may not want to come for the next few weeks. If you're a spiritual wimp, you don't want to come. How's that? Now all the guys said, well, that's it, I'm coming then. If we're going to battle, if we're going to be real, then we need to be a church of prayer. We need to attend prayer meetings. We need to, if there's one missing, we need to get one going. And we cannot pray enough. We, look at us, are so weak. We are so frail. We're just little people until, as an old hymn says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saints upon their knees. Prayer, invisible. A dangerous weapon. To whom? To the one who will be overwhelmingly impressed when it's released upon him. When we pray, church, do we really believe? I have serious doubts that we do, by and large. I'm not saying this to be dramatic nor mean, but I seriously doubt that you and I believe often enough that when we pray, there are drastic effects in the spiritual realm. I thank God that he's called me into ministry to where we are constantly involved in prayer, because you know what? We constantly get to see effects. I'm grateful for that. Maybe you are on the outskirts of prayer. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven. Thank God for that. But you don't find prayer a heated, passionate aspect of your Christian life. You pray when you need to. Oh, yeah, you're faithful to thank God for the food that you got on your plate. But outside of that, when was the last time you really felt that you did warfare and damage to the enemy in prayer? I believe now if this church would pray, things would be rocked in the spiritual realm. Overwhelming power, so that the combatant that's against us would be overly impressed. Prayer is invisible. And yet the moment you and I pray, there's a connection that we'll talk about next week in heaven, and God moves. God over and over again in the Bible says, I'll move and I'll act and I'll do when you pray. Church, are we praying? I'm not putting the weight upon any of our shoulders. Are we praying enough? We all admit we need to pray more. But you know what? We need a concerted effort of prayer to be rejuvenated in our lives. And listen, I almost feel like I say this every week, but do we have problems in our lives? Yeah, then pray. Do we have pressures in our lives? Pray. You might say, well, Jack, I have been praying. Keep praying. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, keep praying, knock, keep knocking. He said, ask, keep asking, seek, keep seeking. Daniel prayed, and that was a tremendous thing, and we'll get to this one in the future. But Daniel was praying, he was fasting, that is, he was drinking water and only eating vegetables. That's what God told him to do, so he did it. And he was praying. And we come to that portion of the Bible and we say, boy, he's been praying a long time. Does anybody know how long Daniel prayed? Thank you. Very good, Matthew. 21 days Daniel prayed. 21 days on his face praying before God. Now, did he get up and do his business? Of course he did. Did he take care of the things that he had to do? Of course he did. But he went right back to prayer. In 21 days, no answer. The heavens might have felt like brass. Have you ever been like that? Has it ever felt like that? When you're praying and it's like your prayer doesn't even get out of the roof of your house? Daniel stayed at it. And then, in one of his moments of prayer, on the 21st day of his time of prayer, the atmosphere opened up before him and an angel arrived. And I don't mean to make light of it, but if you read carefully, it's quite interesting. The angel shows up and basically goes, sorry. What? When you began to pray, I was dispatched to give you an answer from God about your prayer request. I was detained for 21 days in the atmosphere above your head. The prince of Persia, the enemy sent to fight with me, and we were in the atmosphere of warring back and forth, and there's a huge fight going on in the spiritual realm. I had an answer 21 days ago to give you from God, the angel said. But this prince of Persia, by the way, isn't that interesting? Persia? Yeah, that's Iraq today. The demonic power that resided over Iraq in that time, maybe it's the same one, the angel said, he's mighty, and I couldn't get away from him. Until, who came to the rescue? Every time you see Michael, the archangel, show up, that dude must be extremely buffed. He is one bad angel. Every time you see Michael, the archangel, he's involved in a fist fight in heaven, in the atmosphere. He's fighting demons. He's fighting Satan himself. By the way, don't ever think that Satan and Jesus are arch rivals, okay? Class, listen, get that in your head now. Satan and Jesus are not arch rivals, and contrary to Mormonism, they're not brothers either. Amen. Not brothers. Satan and Jesus are not brothers. And Satan is no match for Jesus. In fact, if you read Colossians chapter 1, among many other scriptures, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus Christ is the creator of angels. Did you know that? That's why in 1 Timothy 3:16, that when Mary was giving birth to Jesus in the flesh into this world, it says there that angels gawked in awe at the revelation of God manifested in flesh. Christ coming into the world. No, if Satan's got an opponent, if he's got an equal, it's Michael. Michael and Lucifer, or Michael and Satan, appear to have the same amount of warfare powers. And by the way, Michael has been known from time to time to take care of matters very, very efficiently. And what an amazing, amazing angel he is. He shows up, he knocks out, just boom. All right, take that message to Daniel now. I'll take care of it from here. Oh, man. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? Spielberg, if you're listening, Spielberg, do one on that, will you? Do a movie on that one. You want to learn more about that? Get Frank Peretti's first book, Piercing the Darkness. That'll keep you up all night. So exciting. Oh, man. The angel arrives and says, Daniel, I got the answer. And the answer is given. What if Daniel would have stopped praying on the 19th day? What if Daniel would have stopped praying on the 20th day? What if Daniel, after three tries, I give up. No, the angel came and spoke regarding this tremendous thing. We need to keep praying. We need to stay at it. We are not powerless. The evils that are coming upon the world, the evils that are supposedly coming upon America, California, the threat of terror and attack. Listen, the greatest thing you can do to be at ease and calm and have the wisdom of God at times like this is to pray, because God will tell you exactly what to do. Stay at it, church. I tell you what, we're going to stay at it. If there's only three or two or one of us left, we're going to stay at it. God says, I'm only looking for one person to pray. And there's more than one person here. We need to pray. We need to wake up and be alert.
What a privilege to be able to pray. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, reminding us not only that we should pray, but how we should pray. Why should I pray? That's the title of this study, taken from the Why Should I series. In fact, we'll continue on the next several editions of Real Radio with more on this topic. Now, we've been telling you about something that will be taking place here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, which is still a ways off, but of course, this particular event is quite a significant one. And that's why we've begun telling you about it so far in advance. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs to tell us more.
That's right. We're going to be having a great event. And Mike, it's going to be Friday, Saturday and Sunday, January 11th, 12th, and the 13th. And the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is what we're going to be hosting here. And the great thing about it is that we've got an all-star lineup of speakers that are going to be addressing the issues that concern every Christian today. And that is the threat of Islam to our faith, to our culture, to democracy. And we've invested quite heavily in understanding what the Quran has to say and what Islam teaches. Contrary to what you might hear on CNN or other programs. In fact, we have some people coming from such programs as CNN and the BBC and Fox News. We'll be having Brigitte Gabriel, who many of our listeners have seen on Fox News. Waleed Shubat, who is now probably the most famous former terrorist in the world today, speaks all over the world. And so Waleed Shubat will be with us speaking on the threat of Islam and his own personal life and how he came to Christ. We're going to be having Ergun Kaner, which Ergun's a dear friend out of Liberty University, who was born and raised a Sunni Muslim and came to know Jesus Christ. And now God is using Ergun in a tremendous way to proclaim the gospel. Other speakers such as Ed Heinzen, also from Liberty University, but we've got David Reagan coming to speak from Texas. Don Perkins is going to be coming up from San Diego, delivering a great message on hope in times like these. And then I'm very, very excited. We're going to be bringing over from London, England, Jay Smith. Jay Smith has a gift and a heart to reach the Muslim for Jesus like nobody I know. And so Jay's going to be with us. This is going to be a great weekend to every one of us who are Christians to understand Islam and how we can reach the Muslim with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Again, this is a three-day event, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 11th, 12th, and the 13th. Now, that's a long way out in advance, but here's the reason why. Seating is limited to 3,000. With these speakers, tickets are going to go very, very fast. And so for more information about how you can get your tickets, you can go to SoCalProphecyConference.com.
Okay, so that's SoCalProphecyConference.com, where you can not only learn more about the event, but also for ticketing. SoCalProphecyConference.com. If you'd like to call us for any reason, here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in a contribution, all of which is tax deductible, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.